This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories.
From Iron and Fire, written by Massimo Sumore, translated by Toshiya Kame, performed by Chris Herron. I sleep, buried under the earth. I dream in my sleep. In my dream, I recall the ancient times, the days when I sparkled under the rays of the sun. I was born from fire. I drew my strength from iron. It was humans who gave me form, a precious gift. I repaid them well for this. The Heiki warrior I last faced had been brave. He did not retreat even one step before my ardor. The sword he held was certainly not of little value. Every time our blades crossed, my sister and I, we drew a flare of red sparks that hurt the two fighters' eyes. I sensed an iron will, similar to mine, headed toward a single objective, the annihilation of the enemy. But my sister's desire was less intense. She was still rather young. She had not yet sliced through enough armor of leather and iron, torn enough flesh and bone, or severed enough heads to have a sufficient awareness of her own abilities. The world turned into a slaughterhouse around us. Magnificent. The screams of the dying rang out incessantly. Noble warriors of the two opposing clans dismounted from their horses to fight on foot. More than a few preferred hand-to-hand combat, intoxicated by the sensation of a blade plunging into the opponent's muscles rather than relying on the work of archers. Arrows were cleaner, but more impersonal. It was easy and safe to kill wretched peasants and foot soldiers clad in light armor from a distance. In fact, long wooden shafts sprouted from most of the fallen bodies, making them grotesque. Also, there were spears. They allowed for a greater range of motion and were more efficient than swords, but the sensation from their use was still rather weak. The Genji warrior who held me in his fist liked stronger and more direct emotions. I loved that soldier. In the midst of the battle, I remembered when he beheaded a peasant girl he had met by chance during the relocation of the troops. I had been kept in the sheath while the man toyed with that throbbing body bursting with life. Later, he needed my help. It felt good to penetrate and tear through that dusky skin. He twisted the blade in her belly, between her ribs, and pierced her intestines. For quite some time. Of course, it wasn't the first time. I remembered battles that ended in a similar manner, but I had to admit that the ferocity of the warrior I belonged to was truly out of the ordinary. My reminiscence was cut short by the panting of the two bushi. Now they were shoving at each other, each using the weight of their armor to tire out his opponent. I had nothing else to do but wait for the enemy to cave in and receive a final blow, or for them to begin to exchange blows again. Finally, the Heiki warrior dropped to his right knee. He puffed visibly. In an instant, without hesitation, I flickered through the air and pierced his throat, exactly halfway between the blue-collared strip of his large helmet and the front plate of his armor. The sun sinking toward the horizon was reflected on me, except for my tip, stained with crimson. The Genji warrior raised me above his head. He let out a wild cry that made me shiver with joy from the depths of my steel soul. Time passed. Tens, hundreds of years. I sleep and dream beneath the soil, my shining transparency turned into opacity. Rust, greedy and merciless, has eaten away so much of my blade, which was once sharp. I had been given a name that had become famous. In the land of the rising sun, I had passed down from father to son for many generations. I had drunk blood and cut flesh to my satiety. But one day, old age and decadence had come upon me. No longer sharp, I had betrayed the warrior who had last used me. When that Bushi's head was severed from his body, the sky over the battlefield of Sekigahara was overcast. His body fell to the ground with a dull thud, and the blood dispersed in the air, showing clearly against the gray clouds floating in the ether. I slipped from his inert hand. The screams of horses echoed around me. I was pelted with the clods of mud, kicked up by the hooves of the horses, which, in the heat of the clash, bit whatever appeared in front of their snouts. After the battle, they looked for me for a long time, a war trophy, but no one managed to find me. The memories of my past exploits faded, and only the legend of how I had betrayed the warrior who held me that day went down to posterity. That was my last battle. Born in 1968 in Turin, Italy, Massimo Sumare is a translator, fiction writer, editor, and Japanese teacher. He has contributed to magazines specializing in Eastern Asian cultures, such as Quaderni Asiatici and E Oriente. He has translated selected works of Japanese writers, such as Osamu Dazai, Kenji Miyazawa, Juza Uno, and Kyosaku Yumeno. Translated by Toshiya Kame, From Iron and Fire previously appeared in Aether and Ichor. Hey guys, I hope you like this story, another one by Massimo Sumare. If you did like it, I'll make sure to leave a link to where you can find his other stories down below. I do want to apologize for missing Monday's story, and I also want to explain that I've had some computer troubles lately, in addition to being about 20 miles from a massive fire here in Colorado. So being able to record has become a bit of an issue. The air quality is so bad it feels like I'm a chain smoker at this point. But I'm trying to keep up with the schedule. I hope nobody's too angry that I missed a couple of days there. But hopefully things get back on track soon. This year has just been testing everybody. If you did like this story, make sure to leave a comment or a thumbs up if you're listening on YouTube or Facebook. Or if you're on a podcast, you can always leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. And of course, be sure to subscribe for brand new short stories 2 to 3 times a week. I'm Chris Herron. And that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.